Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
Today, we're the doctrine of Scripture. We're going to start off with something a little different. We're actually going to go ahead and just pray. There's a prayer in this book. We have a prayer at the start of every chapter. And throughout Christian history, prayers were often written. Because what they would do is, in the early days when there was no printing press, back in the days of in the Old Testament days, they just had these big scrolls or handwritten notes, and so very few people had copies of the Bible. And so what they would do is the pastors or those who had copies of the Bible, those who were mature in their relationship with God, would take what they knew from Scripture and put it into prayers that aligned with Scripture. We want, it's not just coming to God and making, you know, just a one-way conversation. God, let me tell you about what I want. And some of us, we still pray that way. But what was great about the early churches is the church fathers would write these prayers so that when they prayed, they could know that my prayers are aligning with the will of God. And these prayers are powerful. Even today, we encourage you to learn to pray the Scripture. And so there's these prayers that are written at the beginning of each chapter, and they're taken from historic prayers of the church by church fathers who knew the Word of God. So this first one is a prayer. It's written by two church fathers, one named Jerome, one named Origen. Jerome was Italian, lived in the 4th century, and he was the one who actually was the first one to write like a systematic theology, taking all the Scripture and saying, okay, so from all the Scripture, what do we believe about God? See, this is what this is. This, a statement of faith is a form of systematic theology of making all the beliefs of the Bible fit together. How does this all fit together? What do we believe about Jesus when we go from Genesis to Revelation? And so he's the first one to ever bring a systematic theology. So he's a pretty smart guy who really knew the Word. And then the other one that this prayer is a combination of a prayer from that Jerome wrote, and then this other father was Origen, who was Egyptian. But he's the one who wrote what became the foundation for most of the Bibles through a section of Scripture. He wrote what's called known as the Latin Vulgate version of the Bible, and so he was someone who knew Greek. But when he started studying Hebrew so that he could really get back to the original languages and understand it, he moved to Bethlehem. And so he just wanted to be amongst the Jews and interacting with the language. And then from there, he wrote another version of the Bible to put it in Latin so that the normal people, the everyday people, could read the Bible in their language. Latin was the language back then of educated people. And so he took that, all this study, and wrote the Latin Vulgate. So these are two guys who really knew the Word and then wrote prayers that aligned our prayers so that we could align our prayers with the Scripture. So we're going to read a prayer together today. Are you ready to do that? Something we don't often do in our church, but there are a lot of traditions of churches that do that. My clicker is not working so well. I'll pray it for you. So here's the prayer. And just listen along with me. You can just agree with me in prayer, agree in your hearts with me. It says, Lord God, you have given us your word for a light to shine upon our path. Let us keep it in mind and meditate on it day and night, persevering in prayer, always on watch. We beseech you, Lord, to give us real knowledge of what we read and show us how to understand it and put it into practice. May it give us wisdom. May it bring joy to our hearts and light to our eyes. May it instruct us in the fear of the Lord. May it guide us in the truth by the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose power and glory will endure throughout all ages. Amen. There's something powerful. The Bible says that when we pray in accordance with His will, and the easiest way to make sure that your prayers are aligned with His will is to pray the Scriptures. And prayers like this are prayers that are taken from the Scriptures and put into the form of a prayer. And so often, so much of people receiving the Word of God through the ages has been like this, where everybody didn't have a copy of Scripture. Everybody didn't have a Bible for so much of human history. But they would be taught the Scriptures by those that did study it. And so the ability to learn the Scriptures from others is something that God gives us, and it's really, it's why we gather together on Sundays like this. It's because as I've studied the Scriptures and as I share that with you, there's something that God can speak to you from the Word. And so when I preach, I'm always going to preach from the Word. Sometimes I may get it wrong. And that's why you got to listen closely and say, hey, I don't know if I agree with that. And that's okay. Because God will help us. I'm not here to create my own gospel. I'm not here to create my own religion. So if something seems off to you, then you should bring that up to us and say, hey, this doesn't seem like it aligns with what the Bible says. And actually, I love those kinds of conversations. Just this week, I was with a fellowship of pastors, and we spent the whole time together. Once a month, we get together, and we're just talking through some of the areas of Scripture that we don't agree on. And it was so good to be able to just get into the Scripture and say, well, here's what I think, and here's what I think, and here's the Scriptures I'm looking at, and here's the Scriptures I'm looking at. And all of us learn something new from those kinds of discussions, because none of us know all of the Word. And all of us are constantly in the place of learning. So I encourage you, especially if you're one of those who loves to be a teacher, I'd love to get feedback from you. I say, man, that really aligned with the way I think, or here's some things that maybe don't align with the way I think, and then we can just reason together, and we grow in unity together. All right, why don't you stand with me? We're going to read through what we believe about the Scriptures. This is, as a church, this is our statement of faith. It's built upon the historic statements of faith of the Christian churches, and it is... And built upon, obviously, the Word of God. So, we believe. We're going to read this together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. We believe God has spoken through human authors in the Scriptures, the 66 canonical books of the Old and New Testaments. The Bible is the only written, verbally inspired Word of God, and is self-attesting, unchanging, and without error in all it affirms. As God's authoritative, infallible, and sufficient revelation for life, doctrine, and practice, the Bible is to be entrusted and obeyed. You can be seated. This is a statement of faith that we as a church adhere to. Now, the highest authority is God Himself. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the Word. Before the Bible is ever printed or written, the Word, the Bible says, in the book of John, was already existed. So that's the reality of the Word of God, is Jesus Himself. That's the truth that's above all truth. The next level of truth is the Scripture that comes to us. And so we look at the Scripture and say, that's the next highest authority and the one we have the most physical access to read the Scripture. The third level of authority in our lives would be these statements of faith that we take based on the Scripture. Okay? So for us as a church, we say this. As a church, we agree that this is what we all agree to, these statements of faith. This is what makes us a church. This is a foundation that we're built on. Well, the foundation is Jesus, but us coming together in this local church, or as every nation, as a family of churches, we just say we have a statement of faith that helps us all to understand our beliefs. And that even though we come together for mission, we believe God's given us a clear mission as a church, and one of these days we'll preach through our mission statement. We come together for relationship. We believe that God's commandment for us is that we're to build relationships, and relationships is what keep us together. But these foundations, our theology, our doctrine, is what strengthens our relationship. So when things get tested, because every relationship will get tested, we'll have times we disagree. We'll have times we say things that offend each other. That's just life. That's just living in a broken world, being sin-broken people. But then what strengthens us in those moments when tragedy comes or conflict comes is our foundation, that theology that holds us together. Okay? So, enough of that. Let's go on. getting into the Bible is the inspired word of God. We love the Bible. You know, the very first book ever printed on a printing press was the Bible. And today it's by far the greatest bestseller of all time. Somewhere between 5 to 7 billion copies of the Bible have been printed. 100 million copies of the Bible, from the, at least the last time that we kept track a few years back, was 100 million copies of the Bible are sold every year. That's a lot of books to be selling every year. I know now that with stuff online and stuff, I'm not sure how that affects that, but talking about online YouVersion, which we read as our Bible reading app, that app, as of last, in the fall of last year, last time they counted, was nearly 750,000 copies of that app that had been downloaded. So this, the Bible is far and away just more than any other book. It's just unique in that sense. And today we're going to go through like each of these doctrines. We'll just go through 5 major points that help us to understand. We're not going to go deep into these just because we don't have the time to, but we'll give you enough to hold on to. So number one, the Bible is God's inspired word. We believe that the Bible was, when we say inspired, it was breathed out by God. We talk about inspiration, expiration, expiration. Initially, it meant to inhale and to exhale. Over time, inspiration has come to this sense of affecting our hearts and our excitement. It also has this sense of God breathing in. Just like expiration means life going out, inspiration means life coming in. And so we look at our scripture for this point. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, it says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. So this word breathed, the word of God being breathed, it's that same thought of when God made Adam out of the dust. And the Bible says he breathed into him the breath of life. There was life breathed into the words of Scripture. And so the Bible says that when Scriptures were written, it was human people like you and I, into whom the Holy Spirit came alongside. And so when they wrote those words, it was God breathing his words into them to write. And so when this Bible was written, it was written by men and this Holy Spirit coming together to write. And so in that sense, the writer is, his personality, his training, it's all in there. The history, the culture that they lived in is all in the Word of God. As you study it, you can see the personality and the culture of the person writing, but it's also the Holy Spirit speaking through that. And so still today, the Holy Spirit speaks to all of us. And God speaks words to us through the Scripture. And it's amazing that something written centuries ago can still speak to our lives today, because it's inspired, written by God. But it also is a demonstration of how you and I are meant to live our lives. That we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. That when we come, when we receive Christ, when we choose to follow Him, the Bible says that His Spirit comes to live inside of us. And we're meant to live this life being led by the Holy Spirit, His Spirit inside of us. The Bible says that God stands at the door of our hearts and He knocks and He wants to come in and live through us. And so our lives are a demonstration of the Word of God, the Spirit being breathed into us. And it says it's profitable for teaching. Teaching just means what we're doing now. Changing our minds, it's doctrine, it's beliefs that are given to us through the Scripture. And begins to change our mindset, begins to change our view of the world. It changes our values and our beliefs. And so your values and your beliefs need to be shaped by the Word of God. We have so many voices that speak to us. We live in a culture that is constantly trying to shape who we are and what we believe. And when we do that, we end up fragmented in all kinds of places. And yet the Bible is one and calls us to be unified in an alignment with the beliefs of Scripture. And so it teaches us and it reproves us. Reproof just means that reproof is like proof, like evidence that convicts. Like in a court case, when they present compelling evidence that just says, yeah, this guy's guilty. He did it. That's what the Bible does. It gives us evidence for what we're to believe. It gives us evidence that backs up what God says will happen and who God says He is. And so the Bible is good for teaching us, changing our hearts and our minds, our beliefs. It's good for not only teaching us, but it's also good for convicting us. Gives evidence. And then it says it's good for correction. All of us in our lives, we're going to need some correction. We all think wrong, do wrong, say wrong, different times in our lives. Everybody good with that? Yeah. Yeah, turn to your neighbor and say, yeah, you need correction too. Just we all do in life. But the Bible is what's meant to correct our lives, right? And to re-guide us, bring us back to center in life. We all need that. It adjusts us. And the Bible is good for that. And then training. Going beyond just correction, going on just information, it goes to training to say, here's the way you should live. Here's how you should interact. Here's how you should have that conversation. Here's how you should act towards that person in work, towards your husband or wife. It trains us in righteousness. And it says it's for that we can be complete and equipped for every good work. So God's called you and I for work. There's a task and an assignment, a good task and assignment for each and every one of us. God has a good work for you. And it's the scripture that prepares us for that. All right, second one. The Bible is authoritative. It's living and it's active. Let's look at this, the scripture. It says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So the Bible is living and it's active. It's not just some dead book of rules and regulations, thoughts and philosophies. It's living and it's active. We're not only supposed to read the Bible, we're supposed to let the Bible read us. And say, okay, how does this apply to my life? That's why when we get together in the small groups, we always say that the main thing that you want to do during the scripture study is say, what am I supposed to do about what the Bible says? How does it apply to my life? Because it's meant for today. It's alive. It's not dead theology. It's not dead philosophy or dead religion. It's living instruction and training for our lives. And it's active. It's meant to be active in our lives, not just put on a shelf. We're meant to apply it in our lives. And I love this. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces to this division of soul and spirit. What does that mean? We all have a soul inside of us. That's our human part. That's our mind, our will, our emotions. It's our personhood. It makes up who we are and how we relate to people, how we know each other. We know each other from the soul. I have memories. I have ideas. I have emotions that people have stirred up inside of me. I remember things that I've done with my wife. I remember our first meal, butter chicken in New Zealand, you know. Because I have memories of that. I'm like, all right, you know, we finally, we had this destination wedding, right? And her family, my family, everybody, all our friends are there. And so after the wedding, you got to hang out with them because they're still around. And so finally, we got to have a meal of on our own, you know. So they dropped us off at this Indian restaurant. Butter chicken was good. It is good, and the company was amazing. But you know, why do I remember those? Because that's part of my soul. I have these memories, these emotions that were stirred up. Helps us know someone. Some people, you see them, you know, as you're walking through the classroom or walking through the office, you see them, joy comes. Other people, you see them and, I'm not sure today is going to be a good day, right? Why is that? Because I know none of you guys. I know you guys are always good day people, and you only work with good day people. But you know, why is that? Because that's the soul. But the spirit is our connection with God. The spirit knows what is God saying and what does He want. And what the word of God does is starts to divide and say, okay, that thought, that idea, that's just your soul. That's just you. That's just opinions that other people have given you. That's just experiences that you've been through. And those are important, but they pale in comparison to the Spirit of God and what He tells us and what He says. And the Bible says, and what the Scripture says, we're to use the Scripture to help us begin to discern what is God saying to my life. What does God want me to do? How does God want me to feel about that person? How does God want me to respond to this circumstance in my life? How does God view the things that are happening in the world around us? Which responses align with the Word of God? And which ones don't? Divide between spirit and soul. And that's what the Bible is meant to do. You know, Jesus, when he preached on the Sermon on the Mount, the Jews were some of the most religious people in the world. Some of the most religiously obedient people in the world. I mean, just crazy obedient to Scripture. Like they're like, I want to, whatever the Scripture says, I want to do it. I want to do it so well that I don't even get close to. And so there, I remember we're in seminary, they were talking about how Jesus spit on the ground and how on the Sabbath day, the Jews, the really strict Jews, are like, you can't spit on the ground. Unless it's on a stone. If you spit on dirt, that spit will mix with the dirt to become mud, which is like building bricks. So that's works. So if you spit on dirt, that's works, not allowed on the Sabbath. Spit on stone, it's okay. Like they're just like, you know, how finely can we, you know, break down our knowledge of the Scriptures and applying that? That's what we call dead religion. And what we want is the Spirit of God. What is God saying to our hearts? How do we live that out? And so Jesus, in what's called the Sermon on the Mount, this sermon that Jesus preached, he said, you know, the law says this, like, you don't kill. But I want to tell you something. If you even get angry unjustly with people, if you start calling them names, it's the same as if you killed them. And we're thinking, Jesus, you're just like going overboard here. But you look at the world around you today and you see how anger turns to murder. And the Bible talks about death as being separation, not just the end of life, but being the separation, the breaking down of relationships. I can grieve over someone who died, but I can grieve over someone who simply broke off a friendship because the fruit is the same. And so Jesus is saying, starts in the heart. And no longer am I just looking at you to try to be obedient to a set of rules. I'm looking to now, you have to have a changed heart. It's not enough to just say, I've never killed anybody. I'm not a murderer. Yeah, when's the last time you texted something mean? Or the Bible says just really in our hearts. I've never committed adultery. Yeah, but the Bible, Jesus said, well, if you look on a woman for the purpose of stirring up sexual desires, that's the same. And some guys are like, well, Jesus is way over the top. You know, there's none of us then. That's the truth. None of us in our humanity. But God changes our hearts. That's the beauty of the gospel, the good news, is that it's not just left to us to try to struggle in our own strength to be good. But God wants to come inside of us and give us a new heart. And the people that we so struggle to love and embrace, God says, I'll give you a different heart. And that's why we as a church, we should be different than anybody else. Not just because we're better and can do better, but because God wants to come into our hearts. And if we truly submit to Him and surrender to Him, give our lives to Him, we start to become changed from the inside out. And we don't become these dead religious people who are judgmental, but we become loving people, humble people, because we recognize I could never do this on my own. It's only because of God's grace, His Spirit inside of me. And so I don't get judgmental over others. I do get loving for them. And I do have a desire that they would experience that same love of God that would release them into the freedom that comes from knowing Jesus. And that starts to break off our mentality of all of our religious practice, whether it's reading the Bible or coming to church. We start to seeing that as just religious duty. I got to do this. But we start to see it as family. I come because I love God, part of His family. It's the authority in our lives. It's the thing that really reads us and says, okay, let's get your heart lined up right. That's what the Word of God does, and that's what it is. It's the authority in our lives. Number three, the Bible is trustworthy and without error in all that it affirms. Scripture says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed because he's rightly handled the word of truth. God's word is trustworthy, without error in all that it affirms. I think as we look at that scripture, we just think about how the Bible was written. You know, in the when you go back over, the Bible is written by over 40 authors, over 15, nearly 2,000 years span, written in three different continents, three different languages, and yet it all comes together as one unified story from Genesis to Revelation. And the more that you study the scripture, the more that you realize how unified it is and how much all these different authors agree with each other. We had a men's breakfast Saturday, yesterday, right? And we did this thing. Lewis led us in this game where we made up stories. Everybody has to put a part together in this story around every table. And so you get assigned by a cube, a little thing like you have to, whatever the picture is on the cube, you got to weave that into your story. And everybody adds on to the story. And the stories are, of course, just foolishness, but don't even agree with each other. We're sitting all there, you know, in just two languages, English and Chinese. Actually, I think we split up by languages, right? We had just Chinese on one table, English. So just one language trying to tell one story, all sitting together in the same room, in the same, you know, living in the same time frame. And our stories just didn't really, were meaningless. Mine should have won, right? Anyway. But here's the Bible, written by guys in totally different cultures, times, across generations. And yet, the more that we study it, the more we begin to see how much it all agrees together and creates not just one unified story, but a foundation upon which to build lives and upon which people have been building their lives for generation to generation. It's something that we can trust. When we start going back, when I was growing up in Christianity, I used to think, oh, those old stories and all those old stuff. God is just alive now. We don't need all the old stuff, you know. But as I've been walking with God longer, I start to realize over the generations, there's such a power in recognizing that it's the same God speaking to me is the God who spoke to them. And the same things that God is doing in my life, in my generation, are the things that God did in their lives, in their generation. And even though the language may be different, the heart is the same. And this unity only makes me so much more confident of the God that I serve and the Bible that I read. I love that last Sunday I was in church here, and a guy came in and he was here in church for the very first time from the UK in a small little town. And he said, being here has just so impacted me. I live in a small little town with a small little church. And coming here and seeing that God is moving halfway around the world in all these different nationalities, and they're all coming and severed, the same sense of God's presence that I feel back there, I feel here. Halfway around the world, in so many languages, from people from so many different backgrounds, all worshiping the same God. See, that's what the Word of God does for us. Where am I in my notes? I'm somewhere. Here we go. We're getting towards the end. But all this, you know, I remember I read a book called Evidence That Demands a Verdict by a guy named Josh McDowell. And he just goes, he was studying law, and he just started going, investigating the facts, the archaeological facts, the logical facts of Scripture. And his investigation into Scripture and the unity of Scripture is just amazing. And there's many more books like that. But that really, for me, settled in my heart. I said, man, the Bible is just an amazing book. Number four, the Bible is sufficient for all we need. All you need is the Bible. Scripture says this, for whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scripture, we might have hope. There's a power in the Scripture that meets us no matter who we are and what we're facing, every circumstance that we walk through. I remember meeting a guy. Actually, I read his book. I missed church the Sunday he was there. Don't miss church. You might miss. But anyway, he wrote a book called The Heavenly Man. a believer from China. And I remember reading this book and just thinking, am I a Christian? Do we serve the same God? The things that happened in his life were so amazing. And it's interesting. It's so fascinating to watch as his book went out through Christianity. People were like, that can't be true. That's got to be lies, you know. And then the people who actually were in China, who been there, are like, no, that's all true. But we who live in the West are like, nah, can't be true. But he writes about how he got, when he got saved. He didn't have a Bible when he got saved. His father was deathly ill. The doctors just said, you know, he's going to die. There's nothing you can do. So prepare for his death. It's going to come in a few days. And so his mother's like, no, we got to pray. So she said, let's get the family together. And they all got together and prayed. And this guy, Brother Yoon, he's like, I'm praying, but I just, all I know is, you know, I need my dad. Don't let him go. We didn't know the Bible. We didn't have a Bible. We just knew there's this God, Jesus, who heals. And so we're going to pray. And the next thing you know, his dad's healed. And so all of a sudden, we all became Christians. We all believe Jesus. We don't have a Bible. We don't know what the Bible says. But we believe in Jesus who healed my dad. And that he said, I'm praying and I have this dream that this man comes to me and gives me this little steam bun, you know, bow. And God says, I'm going to give you a Bible. And so he's praying for a Bible. And then at the same time that he gets that dream, another man who had a Bible gets that dream. And goes out, digs up his Bible, which is hidden in the yard because it's illegal to have a Bible, so they keep their Bibles hidden. And he gets that Bible and he says, there's this guy. He gives it to two men and says, take this Bible. Takes it to his home, comes to the door, here's the Bible. And the Bible's illegal, so brother, you know, he's just like, he's 16 years old, right? So he's just like shocked that he gets a Bible. God gave him a Bible, and he starts reading it. And he starts memorizing the Bible. So his goal is memorize a chapter a day because he never knows when that Bible is going to get stolen. So before breakfast every day, his commitment was, I'm going to memorize a chapter. So he memorizes the book of Matthew. And then he has another vision. God says, go to the south and the west and preach the gospel, preach my word. And so he says, oh, don't know what that means. So, but he goes out and he finds the first village to the west. And he doesn't know what preaching the gospel means, so he just quotes the book of Matthew, all 28 chapters. He just quotes it to them. And afterwards, the people there are just weeping and all want to receive Jesus. And then he goes to the first village to the south and he just quotes Matthew. And when he's done, the people are weeping. And they receive Jesus. There's power in the Word of God. And we who live where there's freedom of religion, we have multiple Bibles at home, right? And I think it's good to memorize the Scripture. But even if you don't memorize it, reading through it, just consistently putting the Scripture into your life will begin, because God will start to speak to you through the Scripture and he will transform your life. That's what the Bible is for. So I want to encourage you, start to honor and to, again, what do we believe about Scripture will then begin to change how we view the Scripture and how we honor the Scripture. I want to encourage you, honor the Scripture. Change your view of Scripture and what it can do for your life. All right, last one. The Bible is to be obeyed. In the end, that's the bottom line. Jesus, towards the end of the Sermon on the Mount, he gives a story, the parable of two men. One who builds his house on the sand that can't withstand the storms of life, and one that builds his house on a rock. And he says the difference is the one who, they both hear the word of God. They both read their Bibles. But the wise one who built his house or his life on a solid foundation, just like we want to build this church and our community and our relationships on a solid foundation, he said, it's those that hear the word and do it. That's why application is what we emphasize. What are you doing about the word in your life? And so that's how Jesus ends the Sermon on the Mount. But in his last time with his disciples, he said this. Now let's go back. What other scripture? in John chapter 14, verse 21. He said, "Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." And so in the end, it really comes back to our love for God and experiencing his love for us. That our love for God leads us to be people who don't just read the word, but we do it. And that obedience to God opens our hearts for more, to experience more of his love. And that's the goal. Jesus said, in the end, it all comes down to, do you love God and do you love people? And the word of God is meant to help us fall more in love with God. And the word of reading the word of God is meant to be the fruit of loving God, which produces then for us a love for people. So to close, I'd like you to stand. The word of God always brings us back to Jesus. His love for us, the way that he laid down his life for us so that we could experience his life in us. And our love response to God should be a love for Scripture, a love for the Word. We have so much Scripture available to us, so much teaching. I mean, you can go on YouTube, podcasts, there's just more content out there about Scripture than you could ever read. But I want to encourage you that kind of these moments when we as a church come together to hear the word, that you honor that these times. As you just start to say, God, give me a hunger for what you want to say to me as a part of this community. And that in your daily life, make that first. You say, maybe you're not memorizing a chapter a day, but every day you just say, God, the first thing I do, I want to get your word in me, as just the fruit of my love for you. And so our prayer for you today is that there would just be a shift in our hearts. That it wouldn't be us trying to be good, trying to live up to, you know, what our parents told us, what our church told us, but that God would begin to shift our hearts to love him. That we would begin to really recognize how much he loved us. That as we talked about last week, the God of the universe would come down and humble himself to be born as a little baby for our sake, to communicate love to us, to say, I know you. I want to show you that I know you. And that I want you to be able to identify with me, not as God of the universe, but as a human walking alongside you, so that we can come into relationship and you can begin to experience my love. And so our prayer for you today is that this week, as you walk through your week, you would sense Jesus walking alongside you. You would hear his voice. There would come a new openness in your heart, a new realization of how much Jesus loved you. That the same, that the passion that Jesus felt that drove him to endure the cross and lay down his life, you would sense that kind of passion in your life from Jesus. And that would begin to shift the way that you see the world around you. So Father, we're so thankful for Jesus and his love for us. That love would fill our hearts. That God, not only would we begin to recognize how much you love us, but Lord, we would begin to be able to love others with that same kind of love. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.